Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Nick, does knowing the specific genes actually help with potentially diagnosing the illness?
Well, yes, it will. Perhaps not quite yet, but once we've got some more genes, we can add up the effects of all of them to actually see what an individual's risk is of getting anorexia. So potentially we can identify people very early, you know, even at birth, if ethics and society wanted it, to identify those people most at risk and then maybe monitor them as they go into the age of risk, which are the teenage years, for development of unhealthy behaviours. So I think that's certainly one area in which our results could be applied at some point in the future.
And what is it about these specific genes that actually potentially could cause it?
Well, some of them are certainly involved in other mental health problems. So we certainly know that the traditional view of anorexia has been that it's a psychiatric condition. What's new about our results is that on top of that psychiatric component, we also see a metabolic component, a component that's involved in the processing of food, you know, sugars and fats and so on. And it's not something that we'd actually expected to see. It suggests that there are some abnormalities in the way that people are predisposed to anorexia process food that may enable them to withstand the effects of starvation much longer than other people, which is why they can get to these incredibly low body weights but still function. So that's a completely a new turn up from our results.
Well, now that we know what these genes are, how can we potentially treat these genetic risks?
Well, firstly, we hope that knowledge of these genes will actually provide clues to what the exact biochemical pathways are causing anorexia, and this could lead to the development of new pharmaceuticals. At the moment, there are no drugs that are available specifically to treat anorexia. The only drugs that we have at our disposal are just general antidepressants and things like that, nothing that really treats the specific aspects of anorexia. The other, as I said, is that this will enable us to identify people at risk, so we can monitor their behaviour as they enter the age of risk in the teenage years. But I think perhaps even greater than those right now, I think just simply realising that we can find genes with this casts a different view on how people see anorexia. A lot of people sort of attach a lot of blame to it, sort of stigma associated with the condition. And I think what our results are highlighting is that this is to quite a large extent genetic. It's absolutely inappropriate that there should be any feeling of blame or guilt or stigma attached to this condition. It's just the same as any other medical problem. You know, you don't have blame or guilt or stigma if you've got a cold or if you've got asthma. No more should you have it if you've got anorexia. So I think that's very liberating for the individuals who have it themselves and also for their families, and in particular their parents, who often spend a lot of time hand-wringing, you know, thinking, what did we do wrong? You know, how did we cause this in our daughter? And I think that to realise that they're not to blame is actually enormously liberating for them.
Stigma is such a terrible thing, and it'd be great this research actually can help defeat that stigma. The research also found a link between metabolism and the disorder as well. Could you explain this a bit further?
Well, it looks as if people with anorexia are able to process carbohydrates and lipids in different ways from the rest of us, in ways that enable them to, as I say, to withstand the effects of starvation much more readily and still keep functioning, whereas most of us would just be collapsing out from lack of food. They seem to be able to keep going, and so it looks like there is something unusual in their metabolism, and our genetic results are supporting that. by pointing to abnormalities in a number of different metabolic pathways. And as I said, this is a completely new finding, and not one that anyone had expected, and I expect it will cause a reorientation of research in this field to try and find out exactly how that's working.
Well, just lastly, what does this breakthrough mean for, as a whole, for those who are suffering or have suffered from anorexia?
Well, first of all, I think it gives it should give people hope that research is being done on this, you know, at the highest level. A very large international collaboration has gone into producing these results. Huge samples, over 16,000 patients worldwide, of which, incidentally, we've contributed over 20% from Australia, which I'm very proud of. Still looking for a lot more patients to come forward and contribute to the continuation of this work. But I think most of all that, as I say, I think this should produce feelings of hope and alleviation of stigma. So that people can feel, you know, much more positive about their future.
Well, it's such fantastic work you're doing, and I thank you very much. And I'm really keen to hopefully we can see some treatments come out of this, and at the least, okay. You know, defeat the stigma.
Good. Yes. Well, thank you. I'd very much like to encourage anyone listening who has an eating disorder, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or binge eating, to come forward and go to our website and read about the project and volunteer to take us to the next phase. So our website is the Eating Disorder Genetics Initiative, which is edgi.qimr.edu.au, or free call us on our 1-800 number, 1-800-257-179.
Well, that'd be very fantastic.
That would be great. Yeah, we're looking for, you know, we've as I said, we've had over 3,000 Australians contribute to this effort, and I'd like to find another 3,000 to take us to the next stage.
Well, thank you so much for your work, and thanks for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was